I love surveys, and I'm fascinated by what people think. And there was a survey published this week, a major survey, that was assessing people's attitudes to the Easter story, to the death of Jesus, to his resurrection, and so on. And the survey carried out by Theos, which is a leading think tank, revealed that to the simple question, do you believe Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead? 57% of people who were asked that question said yes, they did, which computes to about 30 million people in Britain, which is very encouraging. And half that number, more than half that number, also said that they believed in the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus, which again is very encouraging. But to another question in the survey, they asked, do you believe in a personal physical resurrection for yourself? And very surprisingly, in the light of the first statistic, only 9% said yes, they did. So there is work for us to do. There's some kind of disconnect between believing in a historical event relating to the death of Jesus and people's future hope for their own resurrection. There's a past, there is a future, and there is a present. The good news of Easter is that Jesus Christ died in our place, he rose from the dead, and that he will come again so that we can live forever. And Jesus himself brought these three dimensions together when he said to his friends, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus was historically the resurrection and the life. His life demonstrated that. That's past. That's the history. He who believes in me, that's the present. And he who believes in me will never die. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's the future. And so all three dimensions are present in the Easter story. And then Jesus turned to his friends. I like this. He made that profound statement. And then he looked at them and he said, do you believe this? Do you believe me? And that's the connect into the present. So let me ask you this morning. You're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, but do you believe the Easter story? That's why today is the Sunday of all Sundays. Why Easter Sunday is the most important Sunday in history because of what Jesus did that first Easter Sunday. There's an Easter past. And if this afternoon we could whisk you to the Holy Land, I would want to introduce you to the historical Jerusalem that witnessed the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's the old mosaic of the Roman city of the first century. I could take you to the Garden of Gethsemane, where we know that Jesus prayed on Maundy Thursday with his friends. I could take you to the church of St. Peter in Gallicantu, which is where we believe that Caiaphas had his house. They found some of the temple equipment buried there, and that's why they believe that he lived, and that's why they built the church over it. There's a tomb. There's a basin at the bottom, like a prison, where we believe Jesus spent Maundy Thursday and the morning of Good Friday. I could take you to one of the two historic sites where we believe that Jesus was crucified. That's Golgotha. And I could take you to one of the two places that we believe Jesus was placed in the tomb, and where Mary and their friends went to witness his resurrection, where they met him in the garden. If you were with us on Good Friday when we watched Lee Strobel's film, The Case for Christ, you will have gone out, I'm sure, convinced of the historical facts of that first Easter, the resurrection past. But we look forward, secondly, to a resurrection in the future. The Apostle Paul wrote about it when he said, Christ has been raised from the dead, past tense, the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep. So in Christ, we will be made alive. That's the future. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we can have confidence that if we trust in him, we too will live forever. Paul said this in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Now, it's tempting to speculate what we will be like when Christ returns. Will our bodies be like Superman, maybe Batman, or Spider-Man? Well, some young people present might wish they were. But what the Bible actually says is, just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. What we know about the resurrected body of Jesus gives an insight into what our future bodies will be like. The resurrection of Jesus is not simply the greatest event in the past. It's not simply the future hope of Christ followers. It's also meant to impact our lives today in the present. The Apostle Peter put it like this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth, past tense, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It's a living hope that begins the day we put our trust in Jesus. A living hope. It's not simply a historical event, not simply a future hope. It's a living hope now. And that's why on Easter Sunday, often people are baptized, because that's the day they want to identify with Jesus and his death and his resurrection. It's the reason today is often the day when Christians rededicate themselves to follow Jesus in the year ahead. And it's in solidarity with Christians around the world that today is the day we reaffirm our membership covenant. It's a covenant with God, but it's also a covenant with one another. It's our collective response to all that Jesus accomplished for us at Easter. And there's a copy of it inside your server sheet. You may like to look at it as we work our way through it together. Because what I want to show you is that every sentence in our membership covenant has come as a result of the death and resurrection of Jesus. The living hope in the first Easter is the basis of our covenant, and it's a means to help us to live in the present between the past resurrection and the future resurrection. So let's look at it with some questions. Well, why should we follow the example of Christ at home and daily life? Why should we bear personal witness to him? The answer was in our reading. Jesus said to Mary, "Go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Jesus told her to go and tell what she'd seen. And a bit later, he told the 12. And then he told the 120, "Go and tell what you've seen." All his disciples went and told what they had seen. And that's why we're here today. We too are to give personal witness to all who will listen. I wonder whether you've realized that prayer is a result of the Easter story too. Why are we told to be regular in private prayer day by day? Many people pray, but how do we know that our prayers are heard? They're heard because of Easter. Hebrews 7 says, because Jesus lives forever, because he rose from the dead, because he's in heaven now, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. We can pray confidently to God the Father because Jesus is praying for us. And why do we read the Bible? Why do we read the Bible carefully? Because it was written in the light of the resurrection. John wraps up his gospel with these words: Jesus did many other miraculous signs, many others apart from the resurrection, but that are not recorded in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why we read the Bible carefully, so that we will have the eternal life that Jesus has accomplished through his death and resurrection. And here's an easy one. Why do we come to church on Sundays? Why do we come to church on Sundays? Why do we come to church on Saturdays like the Jewish people? Why Sundays? Because of the resurrection. Early on the first day of the week, they encountered the risen Lord. And from the very beginning of the early church, they worshipped on Sundays. Early in the morning, they had to go to work because it was a work day. They met early in the morning The resurrection of Jesus transformed these Jewish followers of Jesus from being worshippers on Saturday to worshippers on Sunday. And why do we take communion? Why are we to receive communion faithfully and regularly? Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. His death, his resurrection, and his return. What about personal service to church, neighbors, and community? Why is this important? Because Jesus commissioned his disciples. The resurrected Lord said to his friends, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We serve in the church, we serve in the community, in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us gifts and talents and abilities to use to serve him. As the Father sent Jesus, he sends us. And what about our money? Why should we give our money to the parish and diocese, to the work of the church at home and overseas? Because of the Easter story. It's a grateful response to all that Jesus accomplished for us. Paul wrote it like this: "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." This divine exchange, his riches, he took our poverty so that we might become rich. That's why we should give in thankfulness and gratefulness to Jesus. And finally, why should we uphold the standard of marriage entrusted by Christ to his church? Care that children are brought up to love and serve the Lord. Why is this in our covenant? Our motivation comes from the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul says this: "Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her," past tense, "to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her," future tense, "to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." If you look at the passage in context, it's because of what Jesus did in history and what Jesus is accomplishing in eternity. We are to uphold marriage and care for children that they're brought up to know and love the Lord. This beautiful work of Jesus is something that he invites us to contribute to and share in, whether we are single or married, widowed or divorced. We can nevertheless all uphold the standard of marriage and care that children are brought up to know and love the Lord. Our hope is that our membership covenant will help those who may believe in the resurrection but do not have that future hope, to help us on an annual basis to encourage one another to persevere between the resurrection of history and the resurrection in the future. Jesus gave his life to save you, to forgive you your sins, to give you eternal life. And on this Easter day, he calls us to follow him as fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And that's why I'd like to invite you to stand. And if the person sitting next to you is asleep, just gently nudge them. Let's stand together. Because I want to invite you to affirm our membership covenant. You can follow in the service sheet or on the screen. God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love by finding delight in the law. The covenant was renewed in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his life, his work, his death and resurrection. In him all people may be set free from sin and its power and united in love and obedience. In his strength, we renew our commitment to play our part in the life and witness of his church throughout the world and here in Virginia Water. And I invite you to say with me, by God's grace and with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, I will endeavor to follow the example of Christ in home and daily life and to bear personal witness to him, to be regular in private prayer day by day, to read the Bible carefully, to come to church every Sunday, to receive the Holy Communion faithfully and regularly, to give personal service to church, neighbours and community, to give money for the work of parish and diocese and for the work of the church at home and overseas, to uphold the standard of marriage entrusted by Christ to his church, to care that children are brought up to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. If you, in good conscience, were not able to say that those words, well, we respect that, and we would invite you to think more about what it means to follow Christ by joining our Christianity Explored course, which starts around the 24th of April. I think it's a Thursday evening. And if you'd like more information about that, we've got some leaflets, and that's suitable for you. If that was the first time you've made that covenant, then welcome to the family. Congratulations. If it was the first, the second, or the third time, we've done this for 3 years now, we invite you to respond on paper as well. It's sometimes good to put your name next to a piece of paper. And in your service sheet is the wording of the covenant on the one side and the electoral roll form on the other side. And there's a pencil in the seat, in the pocket in front of you or behind you. And before you leave today, we'd simply invite you, if you want to be serious with God, covenant together, put your name on one side, and if you're able to, sign the other side, because the electoral roll form is the legal way the Church of England recognizes members, and it enables you to play a full part in our annual church meeting and elect our leaders. But more about that next week as well.